Blog Talk Radio.
Now, as we continue to go through the series, I want to let you know we've been having just a little bit tad of
technical difficulties, but we're going to continue to move forward, and we're going to pray that God is really going to bless this word on today. For those of you coming to the website, you want to go to harvestnewlifechurch.com. As you go into the website, you're going to find an icon over in service and schedules, and you're going to go right down to the middle. You're going to see a little icon that says Power of the Harvest Broadcast. Just click on that. It'll bring you to the chat line, whether you're coming to the studio live. It kind of really doesn't matter tonight to me because the word's going to go forth anyway. But we want each and every one of you to join us and be a part of this series tonight. We're going to end it tonight because we're going to be starting off a brand new series starting on probably next month. We want to just go from whatever the Lord gives us in the terms of what he's doing. This is a series that he's been keeping on my heart just to finish out this course in which we started last week. But once again, I'm Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas. And I want to thank my co-host, as always, Co-Pastor Patty Ellis, for being online with me and supporting me through all of these broadcasts, and each and every one of you who dials into the line faithfully each and every Monday and Tuesday night. But we know we didn't change the schedule. You used to call in on Monday and Thursday, but we didn't change the Tuesday and Thursday. For whatever reason, we feel like that's not a complicated time for us, and I think that's what we need to break on Monday, coming out of our Sunday service, to relax a little bit and hear more of what the Spirit of the Lord has to say concerning the words that we bring forth to you. You got to be real careful how you get yourself in a position to be rested when you bring forth the word of God toward the people. You don't want to come into this thing tired. You got to get your R-E-S-T. You got to hear what the Lord of God has to say, because he's using you as a filtration system to feed his people here on earth, that they may discern and understand the works that he has in store for them. Well, we're not going to delay the time. Let's open up with prayer. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we declare each and every time we come before your throne that you give us grace, that you give us mercy. Father God, even when we rise this morning and our feet begin to touch the ground, Lord, we said thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we're thankful that blood was running warm through our veins. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, even as we come on this line, we declare the word. Lord, that means we usher ourselves over to you. Father God, we break every unchecked spirit in the name of Jesus, and we shut down every soothsaying word and every soothsaying spirit. Lord, we declare and decree, and we decree and we declare. And we call things according to Romans 4:17 to be not through their word. Father God, give us the revelation from the kingdom that we may realize and understand the work that you are doing through this station and everyone at abroad. We believe in the name of Jesus Christ that they receive and graft the word that comes straight from the kingdom of God. Lord, these things I ask not of myself, but the power of the Most High God. Lord, we thank you for every opportunity, for giving us the breath just to breathe your precious word into the lives of your people. These things we ask and outset out of ourselves, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we put it into the third heavens. We declare it has got to go forth according to your word, and it will not come back void. But I believe, Father God, it will accomplish all that in therein. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, Lord. Amen. Well, we're going to get your books. We're going to go over the book of Revelations. We're going to be right back in the book of Revelations. And we're going to be over that second chapter. And we're going to be dealing with the 20th verse of Revelations 2 and 20. And before we get started, I want to recap some things we deal with in terms of the show. As I go through my notes, we have been dealing with the area of before we just clock out of the series. I want to just make sure you understand everything that we've been dealing with. Those of you who came onto the show late and didn't get a chance to catch up in the series, this might be your first time tonight. And we invite you to come out and bring your friends, set your phones down in front of you, get your Bibles and open up, and get ready for a word that comes from the kingdom of God. We started off this series with the four spirits, the seven spirits, as a matter of fact, that have been attacking the church. The number one spirit we deal with in the church is dealing with the area of religion. That's one of the biggest things that's been hitting the church, dealing with the area of religion. When we talk about religion, we talk about some of the things that we say we are, but we're not. You know, the Word of God says that you know, in the book of Timothy, it talks about the process of how we say we love the Lord. In other words, we speak words with our mouth, but our hearts are far from. As a matter of fact, when we look over the book of Luke 6:46, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then you do not the things I say?" And that's a very powerful word, that you can't continue to keep saying that you love the Lord and living in what you call a James 1:8. You're kind of like a Dr. Jekyll. You're Mr. Hyde. You're up and down. You're wishy-washy. You're back and forth. You're either going to step in the game or you're going to step out of the game. You're going to be on the outside, you're going to be the inside. There's no two ways. You can't straddle a fist when you walk in the kingdom of God. And after that, we went on and dealt with a series. We was kind of talking about an area. As I go through my notes here, you probably hear me flipping the page. We're dealing with the process of recognizing the spirit. Spirit basically is the spirit of domination. We talked about the process of just dealing with the area of Jezebel, how she came in on the scene of dealing with the church of Ephesus, and how he declared that Ephesus was his first love. He loved them, and they had all the attributes and everything they needed to be able to go forth as being men and women of God. They had a solid foundation. But one thing he didn't understand, that, you know, he said, one thing I have against you, you allowed the Jezebel spirit to come in and teach things that are not favorable or not recognized by me. And sometimes we get to the point, we get into that area that we feel like we didn't arrive. We feel like we know the word so much we can't be told anything. And then we get in the position now that we allowed a lot of things to come into the house of God. We allowed a lot of things to come into the church. We allow a lot of things to come in our spirit, and we can't receive anything from anybody else. And one of the most rebellious things you hear from a person who don't want to receive is, I got to hear what God has to say. Now, I ain't saying you don't hear what God has to say, but maybe the word of God said, let iron sharpen iron. You know, sometimes you got to sit down and listen to somebody else who helps you. Somebody help me, somebody got to help you. And most of the time it happens with us in the Afro-American church. I'm not really bad afraid to say that. We bump heads so much to the point that we really don't want to come to grips to try to become under the submission of anybody or anything. We just want to kick against the pricks, and we want to go out and do our own thing. We're not saying that you can't do that, because we don't want slavery to be in the church. We want you to have the gifts that you have. And sometimes we look at these things, we got too many what you call airplanes on the runway. We got a man of God who has the vision of the house of God, and then we got a lot of other men and women got in the audience who's carrying the gift to help expand the ministry to the point it needs to be. You don't want to hold them down. You want to increase them. You want to teach them. You want to send them out, as the word of God said. He said, you're not confined to the building. Your job is to go out to all the world and proclaim the gospel. And as you go out and begin to claim the gospel, God begin to hook you up and connect you with people of like-minded spirit. And then you begin to bring them back into the house of God, that they may be trained up in the gift areas that they're in, that they may go back out. And this is a process how the church begins to grow. But you never want to hold anybody captive. You never want to hold anybody hostage. The church goes beyond the four walls. We got to send them out there. If there's men and women of God in the audience, and there's men and women of God who come into the church and got the gift to want to go out and do things pertaining to the kingdom of God, you ought to want to train them up. But you don't want to lie against the Holy Spirit. You don't want to lie against the Lord. You don't want to lie against God. You don't want to say when things are coming against you and it seems like your lifestyle is all out of whack and you really need to stay there to receive the conviction that's going on in your life that you may be a better man or woman of God in the kingdom of God. Sit there and take it until you get dusted off, until you get cleaned up, until you get the malice and get the manner all out of your life. And then you begin to go out and you begin to hear the word of God to a point that you're more better out in the world, helping those to bring them out of the world into the environment of the kingdom of God. But we don't want to do one thing when we get upset and we get mad. We don't want to use the word of God in vain. My season is up. What the Lord told me. And the Lord simply says, don't use the word of God in vain. Don't lie to yourself and don't lie to the ministry. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit. Be able to stay there and deal with what you're dealing with and know that God has got a plan for your life. He declared according to Jeremiah 20:11 that I know the thoughts and I know the plans that I have for you. He declared that they are good and not of evil. So even as we go into the continuation of this series, we know that one of the final spirits that we've been dealing with in this series is dealing with the Jezebel spirit, a very complex spirit, a very familiar spirit. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you got to learn how to do CSI in the spirit when you're going to deal with this kind of controlling spirit, not the person, but the controlling spirit. And we're going to go over to the book of Revelations, and we're going to start off here in the book of Revelations. And I just want to take you back to the 18th verse before we move forward and just kind of recap some stuff in terms of what we've been talking about in this particular verse. And as I go through some pages here on my notes, I want you to just get your Bibles and go over to that Revelations chapter 2. And we're going to go over to that particular, let's start over here at the 18th verse. We're going to hear what thus say the Lord. Matter of fact, let's take it back. We've been going at this for a while. Let's take it back since this is our last day to recap in the series and getting it over with. That's going back to Revelations chapter 2, and let's start at the first verse. And that's here what thus say the Lord has to say according to the church. Now, it says over in chapter 2, and to the church of the angels, and to the church of the, and to the church of angels of the church of Ephesus, I write these things, saying that hold the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now, we're going to get some revelation out of this. For those who've been in the series, we broke this up a little bit, and we broke it down to you as much as we could for the time we had on the air. But we got to push forward. We pray, and we ask each and every one of you to take this information down and read it in your spare time. I will put out a number to those of you who want to consult or talk with me on a private basis, and we can get this thing straightened out and get you a little bit more understanding what the Word of God is saying. But it says, as I read once again in the chapter 2 of Revelations in the first verse, unto the angels of the church of Ephesus, I write these things, saith he that I hold the seven stars in thy right hand. I want to get this right for you because I don't want to mess it up here. He said, I hold the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now, notice what he's saying. I know the works. Now, you got to mention and listen how many times that he mentions the word works. And there's going to be a two phase in this process when you hear him mention the works between 1 and 20. He's talking about a good work, and then he talks about the negative work. And you're going to see how this Jezebel spirit really comes into play. Now, we break this stuff down. We're going to stop it over here in the fifth verse, but I'm going to read it on over. He said, I know the works that I have labored, and I practice, and thy patience. Now, reading out of the New International King James Version, so I want you to catch some words. It's not going to be the same as the King James, the New International, or whatever Bible you're reading from this afternoon, NIV. We want to catch this real good. And he goes on and says, I know the works and the labor and thy patience, and I know that it canneth not bear them which are evil. Now, he's talking about somebody that are evil, that has tried them, which say they are apostles. Now, I've tested some people. We're talking about John 4:24, apostles, and they are not, and has found them, what, liars. In other words, when we look at that, I'm going to stop it right there, and I'll just say a few things about that. When we look at the church today, we're not going to put it down. God is never going to give up on the church. You know, it's only the ones who are coming into play that say they are these different men of God who God called them to the ministry. And you got to realize and understand, you got to try the spirit by the spirit. You got to know if a church is live and bright and vibrant and healing and casting out demons and speaking in tongues, all the verifications they need, they're working in the power of the spirit. Anytime you come to a church that ceases the Holy Spirit and ceases the works of the spirit, you better get up out of there. Because I'm telling you, them works, if they're ceasing it, if they're causing it to douse, and then I let them practice of the power of the Holy Spirit come in and do the works, then you better get away from that place. And some reads the words and say, yeah, that's supposed to be done in your own home. Look, you really need to get away from them. Because you got to let the outpouring of the Holy Spirit be used in a way that the presence of the power of the Spirit could come in and do what it needs to do and force healing. The Bible said in the book of Matthew, there was some that was among them, was lame, blind, sick, and afflicted. And the Holy Spirit came in, was in a position to heal them. But as we go to Revelations, when we look at chapter 2, we want to start this thing over again. We want to look at it in the third verse. He said, it has bored and has patience in my name's sake and labored and has not fainted. I've done the works. I'm in the work. I have not fainted. This is the church of Ephesus. And they get, he's telling us some significant stuff about them. He said, nevertheless, so I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Now, let's look at that part right there. The church of Ephesus was a thriving church. It had all the basis of the power of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. It had all the attributes that it needed to start a solid foundation, the speaking in tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in water, all the evidence of healing. But then it came about, a lot of strange doctrine came in, like we have today. We look at some of the old churches, and you see the old ministers, how they would lay hands, they would speak. In other words, it wasn't a repetitional type thing that we see today. You go into church, the pastor preaches, open up with prayer, and then you get the offering, and then you hear the choir sing, you hear the dancers come. You know, it's boredom. And when the power of God begins to move and demonstration and authority, you're not going to have a lot of structural planning the way man plans it. The Holy Spirit will come in and have his way in the service the way he sees fit to have. Because unless he builds a house, then he's got to dwell in. In other words, if I build a house for you and you didn't want that style of house, then I'm not going to live in it. It's got to be built the way he wanted to be built if he's going to dwell in it. If it's his house, then he's got to listen to him how he wants you to build it. So he goes on and says, we come on down to the seventh verse. excuse me, my voice is a little clear. I want to clear my voice here. Now I want to go down to the, let's go to the fifth verse and let's read this all the way out. He says, remember therefrom wherein thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come into thee quickly, and I will remove the candlesticks out of the place, out of his place, except thou repent. Now, there's some gifts in the house. Now, we talk about all the gifts that they had in the Church of Ephesus. With that, all the gifts of the seven gifts that what it took to get the church started. In other words, we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talk about the speaking of tongues. We talk about the revelatory knowledge of gifts. We talk about the discerning of spirits. These things, even in the commission, we look at the book of 1 Corinthians 12, you know, and we talk about how the manifestation of the Spirit begins to move over in 12 and 7. He talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 and 7, he's about by the manifestation of the Spirit. He's getting each and every man. Now, this is Paul's letter to the church of Corinth, over in Corinthians. And he begins to talk about how the manifestation of the Spirit moves according to every gift by the same Spirit. It's everything he said, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. He said it's by the manifestation of the Spirit. He gets every gift. And every gift is given according to what he sees fits in the same Spirit. But he goes on down in 1 Corinthians 7:11, that he said he distributes the gifts in the house as he sees fit. Now, what happens when you talk about strange gifts comes into the house, strange doctrines come in the house, prophets like Jezebel to come in and start proclaiming things that God has already given you. In other words, the word of God declares over in the book of Jeremiah 1:5, before he formed, he knew. I mean, God put the gift in you. And if anybody going to bring the gift out of you, it's going to be him. Now, it may be a woman, a man of God that line up with what God is telling you about what God is putting in you, but they don't have the right to give you a gift. And what we have in the house of God tonight, people want to give you gifts that God didn't say you need or you don't have or you didn't, wasn't supposed to embrace. The Lord told me that you're going to. Your Lord told me that this. Your Lord told me that. Okay, but we're going to see what the Holy Ghost has to say. And what you got to do is stop comparing spiritual things to spirit. That's why the word of God declares and decreed over in John 4:24. You got to have the Spirit of the Lord. You got to understand that the Spirit of God has got to move in repetition and in line up with what God is saying. Now, she may prophesy a word to you, may say some things to you, but you're going to have to go home and pray and ask the Lord if this be the plan that he has for your life. Because he says in Jeremiah 29:11, only I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. And he said they are good and not of evil. But he talks about the expectancy of the future. And he said, if there be a prophet among you, I'll make him known by the correction which he speak into your life. In other words, you test the spirit by the spirit, it'll line up. You got a whole lot of men and women of God out there prophesying things and saying things they ought not to say for just personal gain. But when we look at this word over here in the book of Revelations in chapter 5, he said, remember therefore what you I have fallen. Now, Ephesus was a great church. They had all the good things. They didn't bring a whole lot of cliques, a whole lot of clubs, a whole lot of programs, a whole lot of this and that into the house of God. And it wasn't a whole lot of people. But the presence of the power of the Spirit was there for demonstration. Everything that was in that house of Ephesus was there. But then what we have, certain things creep in, kind of like with the church today. We move from one place of the women wearing what we call modest wear clothing, and we look to where you see women coming to church dressing like Beyonce. Am I talking to anybody this afternoon? I don't believe nobody trying to pray with me. But I understand, I want you to see something here. We done went from dressing modest to the street type of clothes, and we ran them into the church. Now, don't get me wrong here. The Bible does say come as you are, but some people coming as they want because they don't want to come as they are because they're afraid of what somebody might say about what they have on. But I'd rather a person to look at my heart than look at my clothes. In other words, I'm saying like this. If you know you got something in your closet that you can wear to the point that it's not going to be too revealing to people to look upon you in such a way that they may lust upon you. Now, you got to understand, you're still a man and you're still a woman. You still got eyes and you still see. Now, you understand that your flesh ain't that dead, you know, to the point that you don't recognize things that's in front of you. But what you have to do is don't provoke people in areas that they may come out and be able to stumble upon those areas of life or areas of temptation to the point that you know you're pulling them in that direction. In other words, if God desires you to have a husband and God desires you to have a wife, you don't have to show everything you got to get what God has in store for you, because some of the best thing God's got for you is covered. And this ain't revealing to nobody but you. Let me get off of that subject because I'm going to get a lot of people hyped up on that. Let me move on. But he talks about the process over in the fifth verse. He said that now if you don't repent, I'm going to remove some of the gifts out of the house. Because one thing about it, when you go over to the sixth verse, he said, thou has the deeds of the Nicolaitans. We study about the Nicolaitans. It's going to be another scripture, another study I'm getting about the Nicolaitans. And he said, also hated him. I also let him hear of the Spirit that saith unto you, the church, that he that overcometh the will, I will give to eat the trees of life. Now, let me look at that again and look at it real close, because you want to catch this, because as you read the Word of God, you don't want to fairy tale through it. You want to let the Spirit work with you as you read it, because he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now notice what he's saying. We want to get a good understanding of what he's saying. I'm going to move over to another area of study here, and I want to look that up real close, and I want to check it out real close, and I want to break this down a little bit more, because it's getting interesting to me about what's going on over here in a church of emphasis. Now, as I look at this in one of my 1828 breakdowns, and I want to capture this real close, and I want you to get your notes, and I want you to write this down as I talk to you. Behold, I come with a cloud. No, not that. Let me get this point here across, first of all. When God begins to move in the Spirit, there's nothing that you're able to do to stop the course of the work that he has for you. You're going to have to line up. Are you going to be, in other words, you going to be in or you going to be out? Because when we look at this particular verse and we think about what it said in the sixth verse, it says that, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Now listen to what he's saying, hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. This means that they were preachers who exploited people spiritually and developed them with all false doctrine. Notice what I'm saying. We got Nicolaitans in the church today. They appeal to you as being one thing, but they speak things that will mangle the Word of God. They'll mix it in, and they'll come with their own doctrine rather than moving by the Spirit. And they begin to jam this all together, and they make it sound like it's true. Listen to what I'm saying here, because this is what you got to have in the Spirit when you listen to things. People will study the Word and come up with their own ideology about what they believe the Word of God has to say, rather than getting on their knees, praying in tongues, speaking and getting the accurate word from the kingdom about what's going on. In other words, they'll read world book, they'll read man book, but they won't believe this book. Now, this is the letter, but the letter has so many different ways that it can bring it to you interpretation through the Spirit. Like he told the Sanhedrin, he told the Pharisees, he told the Sadducees. Y'all got the letter, but y'all don't have the Spirit. In other words, they had the educational point of view, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost. And when he understood about the Nicolaitans, they begin to come in, they begin to corrupt the Word, which we have in the house of God today. We got so many educated people behind the pulpit now. They got degrees, they got titles, they got all these things that appeal to the person on the outside source, but they don't have the power of the Spirit dwelling in them. Because what they do is trying to get personal gain by how they have this Apollos-type speech. They know all the words that make you cheer. They make all the words that make you want to dance. They say all the words that make your flesh move. But, baby, when you come up out of the house of God, you're still just as dead as a doornail when you went in. You wasn't delivered. What no miracle took place in your life. The power of God didn't come in the presence of and heal people from every kind of disease and sickness in their body. Am I talking to somebody? But what you have is people just have shows. You have a lot of shows now that come into the house of God. It's not dealing with people being delivered, people being transformed, and people being changed. And this is what problem that steps into the house of God that we're dealing with today. So he talks about the Nicolaitans, you know, the loyalty for them to be able to be the preachers they exploited themselves to be, but their standard spiritual development was pretty shot.
You know, and they didn't have the areas and what they needed to be able to push them over that very hump. In other words, they pulled them away from their first love. Let me say this to you right here, right now. We look at the seventh verse. He said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. The Holy Spirit is saying that the church must come back to the cross. It's got to get back. We got too many games and too many programs going on in the house of God today. We're going to have all these different conferences. We're going to have all these different man meetings. We have all these different things that's going on that appeal to people on the outside. In other words, we took the business of the church and we developed it with the world's business. We have corporate CEO business, so we have corporate CEO businesses in the church. And I'm not saying it can't come together to be as one, to see the church come together to have what they need in terms of spiritual development. But what happens now, we come together for what we call higher authorities, or what we call names that's in a higher position, hierarchy names. It's kind of like the Pharisees. The Sadducees, they wanted all the high seat positions, and they large telepathies. They wanted all the best places in the seats. They want to be known in the marketplace. And when we look at right now, there's certain names that you pull up, and everybody know them. But when you go to the house of God, see me how many people are getting delivered from heart disease, how many people are getting delivered from diabetes, how many people are getting delivered from cancer, how many people are delivered from thyroid problems, how many people are delivered from back pain, how many people have been delivered for eye problems. Everything that Jesus done in the time that he was here on earth dealt with the process of healing and going out to the people. And when every area he went into, something miraculous, excuse me, happened in the spirit. And what we have right now is just church and repetition. It goes in. We do the offering, as I said before. We do the singing. We do the dance team. We have conferences. We got men around the table who speaks word from an educational point of view, mingling it like the Nicolaitans and making it sound to be God. They got all the fancy terms that make you say, ooh and ah. But at the same time, you're not even delivered from anything in your life. You're still the same way you've been when you went in. You never got touched. You never had the power of the Spirit upon you. You never felt the real presence of the Holy Spirit upon you. You've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and that with fire, but yet you're still going and sitting in that same seat every day, time after time, praying that God is going to deliver you. Well, you've been praying for 25 years. When are you going to come up out of what you're in? In the name of Jesus. Am I talking to anybody this afternoon? I don't believe y'all want to pray with me, but I'm going to keep on going on this because this is a very powerful subject that we're dealing with. And when you look at the church of Ephesus, when they left their first love, everything began to go downhill. When the men and women of God began to leave, the first thing that brought them in, you might as well look for failure to come. Everything that we see now in the church is in a wide scope broadened to the point that now we see people are getting in so many problems in the house of God. You hear it all across the radio. You hear preachers getting into fornication. You hear them getting into dating other women. You hear them getting into things they ought not to be doing. But you go back to the old church, the old days. Those men were loyal. I had an old woman say, go back to the mourners of the church. Go back to the rock in which we come from. Now it's a big thing about wearing monkey suits. As I said before, I like nice suits and all those things, but I don't wear them. I don't need them. You know, if I go to certain occasions, I got a dress, I'll look nice. But one thing about it, me trying to outshadow everybody in the audience, and they ain't got but two or three pennies in their pocket, and I'm coming out there with a Louis Vuitton, whatever it looks like that I have on, drive a Bentley. No, that's not going to happen. Because you know why? I can take that money and go build me a recreational park. I don't got to build me a $50 million structure. I can go build parks and things out in the land that bring the community together. They may have all that they need. But one thing we are understanding, we hear the word of God, there'll be some knucklehead to get on the lines and use the word about don't muzzle the ox to tread the corn. Well, how much corn do you want to eat in the name of Jesus? If you don't muzzle the ox to tread the corn, how much do you need to eat? You know, if you're an oxen, then you need to be out there oxen and plowing the land and doing things to help the community, help the family of God's people to come together. Get the poor off the corner. Go get the banks together. Go get the recreation centers together. Go get the hospitals together. Whether they're confining all the people and enslaving them into one building. And when you get them all into one building, you come together, and this is when you come in the area of the seat of the Jezebel spirit. Now, one thing about the Jezebel spirit is we read and we stopped over here in the 7th verse of Revelation, but I'm going to pull you on down to the 20th verse. And it speaks and it says like this, nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you have allowed the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants and commit sexual immorality and eat the things sacrificed of idols. Listen to me real good. when the spirit of Jezebel begins to manifest itself in the church, it seeks the highest seat in the church or replaces it with dominancy. In other words, it tries to come in with a dominant spirit. It usually manifests itself in someone who he can really get into. In other words, let me say it like this. Usually it will manifest in someone who wants to teach or lead. Usually it leads them astray. In other words, it gets in there and it begins to pull them away. You ever known people who come into a crowd and persuade you about something other than what the man of God said? Or you got certain people on your job you go to and certain things they don't like about the management, they begin to turn you against the management or say things about the management that's not right, and they get to lead you to believe that when God bless you with a job to pay for the family and get your bills paid, and then they be on the job talking about the management system, the management team. Well, you know what? It's their job. And if you don't like it, you go get you another job. You know, I talk to anybody. Because I believe that when you go into a structural system, there ought to be some things that you can come to your boss's office and tell him that you don't feel is right. And that's the same thing you got with the kingdom of God. His door is always open. If there's some things you're dealing with, maybe you need to take it to the Lord in the spirit. And the Lord will give you the very wisdom that you need to go to that particular boss or that particular employee, whoever it may be, and solve that thing to a point that you will never understand or hear it ever again. But the Jezebel spirit is a straying spirit. It will come in, it overtakes. It don't want to try to reason with you. Like the word of God say in Isaiah, okay, we all just reason together. It don't want to reason with you. Its job is to come in and overtake you, to find a place in leadership. The Jezebel spirit, if you think about the Jezebel spirit, you must be looked at it. You can look at it. In other words, it looks like it's in a spiritual manner. It cares all the things of a good Christian. It has all the attention that makes her feel or him feel like he got what all you've been looking for in a man or woman. God, I know what I'm talking about because I've been there before. I ran across some of those demons. And I'm telling you, they're hard. Once you get them in, it's hard to get them out. Once you get them in leadership positions, it's hard to get them out because there's such a twist on them that they try to persuade people. And when they do try to leave or they're booted out of the house of God, they try to take everybody with them that they can. In other words, if I can't play, can't nobody play. Give me my ball and I'll go home. And that's just the way they are. You got preachers that got Jezebels in them too. They control the crowd. They persuade them to give things and break them to the point that they don't have nothing and they can't even take care of their household. They persuade them with manipulation of the word of God to make them feel that they're not giving enough and the church don't fall. Well, you know what? God said you never should bounce your vision off of provision anyway. If you count your church to survive on the number of bodies in the seat, then you got it all twisted anyhow. You might as well get up and shut the business down anyhow because you didn't come through the revelation of God anyhow. And you got to understand that. If God's going to build a house and he's going to survive the house, he's going to give you everything he needs. You don't have to manipulate the crowd to the point to make them enslaved in the church of God. In other words, you got more bodies. I look at the church and going on today, we got more bodies coming to the church collectively, but everybody's stuck inside the four walls. Nobody's going out. We becoming slaves in our own churches by a man who sits behind the pulpit and don't entice us or entices us to stay within that particular box and don't go out and start our own business and start our own churches. Just like I told a woman of God I was talking to her today, we got too many airplanes on the runway waiting for a man to signal your number for you to take off. No, you need to talk to God and take off on your own, but be obedient to the man of God and say, the Lord is leading me in another direction. Do you want me to bring this type of ministry that God has given me into the house that the ministry may spread, and whatever it brings outside, we can continue to all benefit for it and grow together? The Bible declares over in Psalms 133, how good is it for men to dwell together in unity. Unity comes when everybody's got a plan to expand. And I'm telling you, man and woman of God, anything that refuses to change will die. It's got to die because times are changing, and you got to constantly move each and every day with the changing of times. Let me move on here, and we want to see another area of dealing with the seat of the Jezebel spirit. One of these spirits operated in Moses's. You remember the story of Moses' life over in the book of Numbers, chapter 16, 1 through 3. You saw this spirit operating in the area of Moses' congregation. It was dealing with Korah and Doth. And when he understood that one of the spirits that operated against Moses in the book of Numbers, chapter 16, I encourage you to read that book over there in Numbers chapter 16, a very interesting
chapter. It's a very interesting verse, and it holds a lot of clout in terms of what's going on today in terms of rebellion and how crowds and people come together in cliques. They come together in gangs. They come into positions, and they begin to manipulate the people that the man of God has for the vision in the house. But it goes on to say, it tells us that Korah and the son of Lazar, and these names are kind of tricky, you know, tongue twisters. It's Korah, the son of Lazar, and Koreth, Levi, with Doth and Abram, the son of Elab, and one of the Pelites, the sons of the Pelites of Reuben, took men, and they rose up against Moses with one of the children, with some of the children of Israel. Let me read this again because I want you to hear this real careful. They says that in the book of chapter 16 of Numbers, they say Korah, the son of Eleazar, the son of Korath, and the son of Levi, with Doth and Abram, the son of Elab, and one of Moses' one of the sons of Pelite, the sons of Reuben, excuse me, and the men, and they rose up against Moses and some of the children of Israel. Now, this is a Jezebel spirit operating at its best. But when you go ahead and read through this chapter, you'll find out that there was an end to their demise. They begin to get, I'm telling you, God opened up the earth and clave them. I think it was like 44,000 people died under that rebellion that took place, headed off by Korah and Doth. But it goes on and says that they rose up against Moses, and they went before Moses, and listen to what they said. It said they rose up against Moses, some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives, of the congregation, the men renowned. They were not listening. There was representatives of the congregation in that 16th chapter, but there was men of God who was real renowned. There was priests that was chosen to do the work. They said that they gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, listen to this, this is a rebellion at its best. They said to them, you take too much upon yourself, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them. Now, look what they're saying. In other words, you're not our leader. We do what we want to do. God is in us also. The same thing happened with Miriam. When Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses, and Moses said, you know, meet me in the assembly of the congregation. Lord came down and heard the word when Miriam spoke against her brother Moses. And he said, you know, you meet me in the assembly of the congregation. This is the same thing happened right here, that these men of God rose up against Moses. And it says, you take too much upon yourselves, and the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why do you exalt yourself above the congregation of the Lord? In other words, they're looking at this whole subject saying, you ain't the one. We got spiritual gifts too. You know, we got what it takes to move forward too. That's Jezebel at its best, and that's what Jezebel does. The first thing she does, she gets in the leadership position. The first way she gets in the leadership position, or he gets in the leadership position, he begins to downcast the leadership. One thing about a Jezebel spirit, one thing it's going to try to do, if it can't get the leader, it's going to try to knock out the message. If it can't knock out the messenger, it's going to knock out the leader. If it can't knock out the leader, it's going to knock out the message. Either or, it's going to try to get its way to the top. And what it does, it manipulates. It manifests itself in a church in a position to try to make it seem better than what they are. In other words, they feel that they're overcast. They feel that they're a lot greater than everybody else. They feel that they're beyond them. And they feel that they can take over the congregation. They feel that it's their church. But I'm telling you, you deal in that area, you're dealing on a dangerous ground. Because God chose that man and woman of God to be ahead of that church, and you coming in there with that kind of spirit, I'm telling you, by no means get the very worst that happened to Jezebel. They say she was eaten by the dogs, and it wasn't nothing left but her fingernails. And I'm telling you, when you come against a man of God in leadership, and he have put him over the authority to be over that house, and you begin to bark against that ministry, you better watch yourself. Because I'm telling you, it's not going to turn out good for you. But it goes on and says over here that Korah operated in the spirit of Jezebel, along with Doth. You need to read this over there. Matter of fact, when you go over to the, I'm looking up some notes here. You go over to the Numbers. Let's go back to the book of Numbers. Those of you who are in the book of Numbers, let's go back over to Numbers 16. And let's look at something real close. Let's break this up a little bit. see what the Word of God is saying, buddy. I got to turn to one of my, this book, I guess, 1820. It gives a lot of good information in it, but I'm telling you, it gives a lot of information, but I'm telling you, it's a spiritual revelation. I read this book quite a bit along with some of the other good stuff I have on hand, and I'm telling you, by far, this thing is great. This is what he says right here. As we get over the book of Numbers 16, I encourage you to read this chapter because it's a powerful chapter about being rebellious against the man of God. It's a powerful chapter about being rebellious against God's chosen men and women of God. Now, it says over in Numbers 16, Korah rebels. It's a rebellious spirit. It says, Korah and the sons of Eleazar, the son of Korah, and the son of Levi, and Doth, and Abram, and Elab, and the sons of Peli, and the sons of Reuben. Look what it talks about here. These things were revealed through the instructions of a human heart, an evil human heart. God allowed these men and women of God to come against the man of God to prove to them that when they came against him, that he said he was his only chosen. By him being the only chosen, then the Word of God say, don't come against my anointed while I show myself against you. When I choose a man and woman of God to head off what I put together, don't you touch them. Don't you put your hands on them or put your mouth on them, because I'm going to show you who I'm like. When you read on down in the scripture, and it says they rose up before Moses and the certain children of Israel. It says 250 princes of the assembly of the famous congregation renowned. It was well-known men of God, men that was chosen by choice of the high priest Aaron. But they begin to go against God's men. They begin to talk bad things about God's men, not knowing that it was on dangerous ground. You begin to read over in this chapter. You begin to go down in the chapter. The Bible says, I think it was not 144,000, if I am mistaken. It's heads about course, in this particular Doth man, this priest. They came against the man of God. And I'm telling you, when they came against the man of God, Moses went down to the assembly. And I want to read this to you because I'm flipping through the chapters, and I want you to see this right out because the Holy Spirit is moving on this one right here. I'm telling you, man, this Jezebel thing is something you really don't want to portray. If you got that kind of spirit on you, you need to get it up off of you. And you need to understand that you got to come under obedience when you're walking in the house of God, especially when you come against God's appointed. You're walking on dangerous ground. I don't care if he got two people in this church. If you feel like you can do better, you better watch yourself. Because if God called him into that ministry to do that work, I don't care if he got three people. If God put him there, then God is heading them off. Don't come in there with your ideals thinking what you're better than what God gave him. Because you'll find yourself in a very bad position. Now, when we look at this scripture, we go on down and we see that over here in the fifth verse. And we see that in the fifth verse of Numbers 16. I want to read this real careful to you. And he spoke unto Korah and unto all the company, saying, even tomorrow, this is Moses speaking to them, even tomorrow the Lord will show who, in other words, the Lord will show who are his, and who is holy, and who will cause him to come near unto him, even him who has chosen well. He chose to come near unto him. Now, he's saying that even when he has chosen, listen to what he's saying, even to whom he has chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Listen to that real careful. If you come against it and you want to try to play titsy-totsy like they did over here in 16:1-3, God's going to put a measuring stick in the position to let you find out what you're coming against. It's a very powerful word when you think about how he dealt with these men of God who came against Moses in the work that he was doing. It says over here in Numbers 6, and it says that he said, this do take you, a censer, Korah, and all the company. He said, put fire therein and put incense in them, that the Lord tomorrow, put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. Now, he's testing them. And it shall be that the man who the Lord does choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon yourself, I'm sorry, you sons of Levi. In other words, when he told them in the seventh verse, put fire in the censers and incense, and we come before the Lord on tomorrow. Now, the same words that he said back to the sons of Levi, he said it again in the beginning. If you remember, I was reading over in Numbers 1-3. when they rose up against Moses. They came against Moses. Remember, we go back to this again, and I'm dealing with the area of the Jezebel, how these men of God came against the man of God. And I'm telling you, men and women of God, you better watch yourself. When you see a man that's anointed and walking in the Spirit and you begin to slander him behind your back, it's a matter of time before God begins to show himself about what you put your hands on, what he's created to be. And you better watch yourself how you mumble and grievously mumble behind your back about men of God who God has called in position. You got to be careful. And if you got people who saying things about men of God, you know it's trusted men of God, you better get away from them. Because I believe once the wrath comes down, it's going to fall on everybody that's in that particular group. The word of God declares and decrees and decrees and declares. Over here in number 16, now Korah, the son of Lazar, and the son of Kareth, some tongue twisters, and the son of Levi, Doth, Abram, the son of Elab, and the son of Pelite, and the sons of Reuben, took men. Look what they've done. These are the men that Moses brought up out of Egypt. But now they've been appointed to priestly positions. And now they didn't got too high. And all of a sudden they feel that they could come against the leader Moses. It said they took men and they rose up before Moses with the certain children of Israel. In other words, they took the Jezebel spirit in there and they persuaded them. They got in the house and began to talk on their phones at night. Talk about the preachers. Talk about men and women of God in the choir. Talk about people who come to church and church ain't got good clothes that they got. And they don't know that God has chosen them to be one of the greatest men of God, the greatest woman of God that ever would live. But you put your mouth on the wrong one. The Bible declares the decree that you ought to strive in peace with all men. You need to get rid of the Jezebel that's in you. And I'm telling you, man and woman of God, when we look over in Revelation 20, not leaving over out of chapter 16 of Numbers, you look over to Revelation 22, he said that now in the beginning that the Jezebel spirit, it manifests itself in the church. Now, when Moses had the congregation out in the wilderness, that was his church. And God called them and appointed him to be leaders. But we understand the story of the book of Numbers. We remember that Moses chose 12 priests, and two of them were great men of God, but the other one came against the congregation and rose up. And this is what they begin to say as we read again over in number 16, over in the second verse. And they rose up before Moses and certain of the children of Israel, look, 250 princesses chosen of the assembly, famous in the congregation, and men of renown. They was known men throughout the congregation for what they was chosen. You remember in the book of Numbers, you don't get a chance to read it. You remember God told Moses when he's going through the stress. He said, bring the men into the camp, into the assembly, and I'll put the spirit on you, on them. Now listen to me when I say this. This is how the Jezebel spirit operates. Remember, we went back to Revelation 20. We said when the Jezebel spirit begins to manifest, it manifests in the church. It seeks the high seat in the church. It's a place of dominancy. It usually will manifest itself in someone who wants to teach. They want to be in leadership. This man and woman of God, Doth and Abram and Reuben and these men of God, they came against Moses for the work that he was doing. And that Jezebel spirit slipped off in there. And when that Jezebel spirit slipped off in there, it began to talk to that man of God, Moses, as if he was a dog. And they told him over in the third verse. He said, they gathered themselves together against Moses. We're back in the book of Numbers 16 and 3. I don't want to lose you, but we really, our emphasis and focus on tonight is out of the book of Revelation 20 and 2. But this is our passage scriptures that we're backing up on because we want to parallel this thing and we want to hear it real good. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, be careful how you use your tongue. Be careful what you talk against. If there's things that are taking place in your life, you might all want to understand what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 11, and 23. Let a man first examine himself to see if he's of the faith. If there's men and women of God you're around that's put their mouth on the priest or put their mouth on the man of God in the house, you better bail out and get away from them. The Bible declares and decrees that evil communication corrupts good judgment. Not only we corrupt good judgment, you'll find out that your Jeremiah 29:11 is in jeopardy, because Jeremiah 29:11 says, only I know the thoughts and the plans that I got for you. They are good and not of evil. For he said he know the thoughts and the plans he got for you. But if you're not walking in the ways of the Lord, according to Psalms 84:11, no good thing will I hold from those who walk upright. If you're not walking upright, if you put your mouth where it ought not to be, if you're falling on to being a Jezebel and you're trying to divide the congregation, you're trying to cause all things of manipulation, God will deal with you in ways that you won't even understand. And I'm telling you, you got to watch yourself in the last days. These men over in the book of Numbers 16 and 3 gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron. Unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing that all the congregation is holy. You know what they're saying? We can do it better than the preacher. He ain't preaching right. He ain't got the T.D. Jake in him. He ain't got the Bill Winston in him. He ain't got the Noel Jones in him. But you know what? God said there's a remnant that he got for that particular man and woman God he brought in that position. It doesn't matter what you think they may look like. If God brought you in the house to be a help to the house, don't be a what we call a rebel to it or a hurt to it. Be a help to it. But if you don't think that's the ministry you need to be a part, it's a whole lot of other churches out there you can go to. If you think you're above the law in the area of the kingdom, then you better watch yourself. Because the word of God declares and decrees, if any man think of himself to be something that he's not, he deceives himself. If any man think of himself as being higher than he ought to think, he deceives himself. Now, the God didn't say you can't think high. He said you just can't think more highly than you ought to think. Am I talking to somebody this afternoon? And we got to understand in the body of Christ, and it declares and decrees, when we walk according to the kingdom of God, God has gave us the understanding to realize and know that he's in authority. He's on the ground. He's doing the work. This Jezebel spirit will come in and it'll cause all kinds of havoc in the house of God. It will cause all kind of betrayal in the house of God. It will leave all kind of loose ends to the point that things will be hanging out so bad that God has got to come clean it up. Let me show you something over here. When he took the censers over in Numbers, and he dealt with the censers over in Numbers, we go down to the area of the eighth verse. Let's go to the tenth verse. And it said, and he brought them three near to him, all they brethren and sons of Levi, and he seek the priest, and he held also. I'm looking at something. And he seek the priest, and he held also. For which there come both of you all in the company of the gathering together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmured against him? Now you got to read this real careful. It said, and he brought thee near to him, and all the brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priest, hold also the whole hood, for which they are both, for they are both thy, no, listen to this, for which they cause both of thou all the company, and they gather together against the Lord, and which Aaron and ye murmured against him. And Moses said, Moses sent to call, and Doth and Abram, the sons of Eliab, which he said, will you not come up? And it is a small thing that thou hast brought us out of the land of the flowing of the milk and honey. In other words, he said, you brought us out of the land that we feel was flowing of milk and honey. It wasn't nothing in Egypt, leeks and garlic. You know, you were worse in Egypt than you are now. Is it a small thing that you brought us up out of the land of the milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself together as priests or princesses over us? In other words, you brought us out here to make us look bad by ourselves so you can look like you're the number one big dog. In other words, you brought us away from Egypt in which we were just having leeks and garlic. And you're going to bring us out in, you're going to make it seem like since you got us out in the wilderness, it make you seem like you're the top dog. You're the number one. In other words, you look like a prince of us. He said, moreover, thou will not brought you into the land that flows of milk and honey, and give the inheritance in the fields and the vineyard. Thou hast put out the eyes of these men. In other words, you told us lies. You led us on a straight. You led us off a blind. You led us off blind. You told us things that we wasn't going to get. Now, this is where it gets interesting now when you think about it. You led me out here, and you led me to believe that something was here that was not. But I heard the word of God tell me over in the book of Hebrews that said faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That even though Moses got the revelation of why it's supposed to be, they hadn't seen it yet. But because of the lack of their faith and the lack of their hearing, they fell victim to the man of God by coming against him. Moses was bringing them out on a mission. Now, you got to really see this. Jezebel was really operating hard in this chapter. This is one of the chapters I chose. Because now that you see this word, you'll find out that these men of God didn't see what they needed to see. And so they begin to get angry like most of us do. We begin to rebellious like most of us do. We don't see things happening where they need to happen. Somebody done prophesied into our lives. Somebody done told us something. It ain't come to pass. And all of a sudden, we get mad at the church. We get mad at the man. What you get mad at the man for? I mean, he ain't done nothing. He ain't nothing but a man to bring the word of God. If God gave him a word to prophesy a word into your life, then it was up to you to understand and go home and pray to God and ask him if it's true or not. And you got to labor and believe that what God told you is going to come to pass. And if it's going to come to pass, you're going to see it come to pass. You don't need to get angry and go against the man of God in the church and feel that he's not doing his job. Your job is to stay in faith and go in prayer. And I mean pray in tongues so you can get an accurate decision about what God is showing you. That Jezebel spirit, I'm telling you, it will move you, it will manipulate you, it will dog you. It will cause you to see things you never saw before, and it will cause you to get punished in ways you've never been punished. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when these men of God came against Moses, when they came against Aaron and these men of God, you read on in this chapter, you'll find out that the ground opened up and cleaved every one of them. I mean, there was about 144,000 that got sucked under the earth, along with Dorf and her little posse. All of them got took out. I want you to read this chapter for the sake of time. But I want to bring in the co-pastor, as always. You know, the next 20 minutes is really her show. I mean, I give it to her, Ian. But I want to hear what she has to say, concerning this message on tonight. Co-pastor Patty.
The Jezebel spirit is a very manipulative spirit. As the pastor was talking about how the Jezebel spirit comes in and wants to be the head, wants to take over. And we have to be so careful that we don't come engrossed with that. Have you ever been in a conversation where someone starts talking about someone and wants to get you on their side, and then you say, oh, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I've experienced that. Well, that's what the Jezebel spirit does, wants to get people on board with them in order to build the Jezebel team. And we have to be so careful not to be involved with that. And how do we know not to get involved with the Jezebel spirit? Well, we know because we have the discernment. We have to know the word of God. Prayerful about each and every day in order to be able to look at that. Otherwise, you'll find yourself being part of that team. History shows us that if we look back and we see congregations that have been built, what we call cults, they get involved that people don't know, and they just follow that leader. And that's what Jezebel wants to lead people blindly and to disrupt what the Word of God is doing, what the plan of God is. And we have to be careful we don't go on to that other side and start being manipulated ourselves. And that's why we listen each and every time to the Word of God. We listen to these programs that will educate you. You have to do it also on your own by reading the Word of God. Going back over those scriptures that have been given to you, what is the Word of God saying to you? You have to be diligent each and every day that you don't be entrapped by that Jezebel spirit. And it's such a very strong, subtle spirit, because just think about what the goal of the Jezebel spirit. Just think about what the goal is to just manipulate you, bring you all together, get you disrupted, get you confused. When we get into that position, we know it's not of God. But we don't just go along being led blindly. We have to come together. We have to listen to the Word of God. We have to be prayerful. We have to be diligent each and every day. And that's why we have stayed on the subject of the Jezebel spirit, because it is so involved in the kingdom today. It's so involved in churches. It's so involved in the Christian life because anything that the Spirit can do to get you off course in your walk with God is the purpose. Remember that what the pastor was saying about how when you live the Word of God and you're living each life, it's obedience. It's obedience to the Lord and to those paths. It's not following some manipulated spirit. It's being in the Word of God. And that is what our goal is as followers of Christ. We have to stay on task. We have to be obedient to the Lord. But we won't do that if we don't know. You can be pulled this way and that way, and then also find yourself in a place where, how did I get here? We have to be diligent to read the Word of God. We have to be diligent to pray. I can't say that enough, because otherwise you will be pulled. You'll be taken this way. You'll be taken that way if you don't know. Amen. And Pastor, I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to you.
Amen. Amen. Woman of God, I tell you, you know, just talking to a person, I said, I saw you in the studio, you know, and they had kind of clocked out on us, but, you know, this is just how it happens, you know, and you know, when sometimes when the word comes, it comes a way of demonstration and power. But even in this segment, you know, I always open a floor up for questions or people who just have anything they have to say concerning this particular scripture and what they want to, and we got about maybe 20 more minutes, and we're going to use the next 5 minutes to go into our salvation. I may have 8 minutes of salvation and prayer, but we've got a few minutes to open up the line for those who want to comment on anything. All you got to do is push the number one button on your little tattletale screen, on your phone, the iPad, whatever you're on, and it'll bring you into the studio. We'll see you light up, and we'll answer any questions you have to have. But in the meantime, you know, when you think about the process, and you can go ahead, and if you want to just, you know, push the button, you can. But in the meantime, you know, there's quite a few people on the line here. I won't be able to get to everybody, but we just want to open it up for the few minutes we're here. But when we look at the church, when it gets to that point, it gets to the environment of death. And you talk about the environment of death, like the city of Sardis, the church of Sardis in Revelations. It talks about them over there, how they were so historically rich in their areas of wealth. And, I mean, they had gold running all down the river's banks and things, and they had everything they needed. In other words, in addition to their wealth of the city, you know, there was a paganism city, you know, and they favored the god of I think his name was Cliber, C-L-I-B-L-E, Cliber over there in the Book of Revelation, dealing with the area of Sardis and the. I'm going to look this up for you because I don't like to give you half information. When you go back to the book of Revelation, I want to make sure I give you that specific. We're going over to Revelation chapter 2. And I believe it was in chapter 2 when you read about them. They was kind of a rebellious city. You got the church of Ephesus, the church of Smyrnov, and Pilgrim. But the church of Sardis, over in chapter 3. There it is. Read chapter 3. You guys get chapter 3. There was a very wealthy city. They had all the riches and all the sufficiency. They had all the peaceful things they need. But you know what? They fell into what they call sufficiency. They stayed where they are. You know, like most people, I'm good with my riches. I'm good with my cars. I'm good with my houses. I'm good with my money in the bank. I'm good with my job. I don't need the Lord. I'm fine. I don't want to ruffle my feathers. I don't want to come out of where I'm in. I'm sitting good right where I'm at. I don't need no problems of anything coming out. I don't need anything. So they sat right there, and they believed that where they were, they was in a peaceful position. But, you know, but one thing about that, you know, when you get comfortable in the area, you feel that their comfortability falls in without God, it can be very dangerous. Matter of fact, it is dangerous because a matter of time, the Word of God declares you don't know the time, place, or when. When God has called you before the foundations of the world, when he told you in the book of Jeremiah, when he knew you were thought of before the world was even created, then he said he gave you gifts pertaining to the Word of God that you see over in Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you before I formed you. I knew before I knitted you in your mother's womb. I gave you things that would be help to me as being the God in heaven to bring my souls to the kingdom. But I'm going to bring you more help as it progresses and goes along. I'm going to bring you my son, who's going to die for the remission of all your sins. In other words, when Adam sinned, that thing rippled throughout all the world. Every man falling short.
But now he sent the new Adam, which was Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ came on the scene, he paid everything in full. That when you mess up, when I mess up, when my wife mess up, whoever mess up, my daughter mess up, we all been forgiven. But we got to be able to repent. This is why John the Baptist screamed so loud over there in the book of Mark about repent, 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 because the kingdom of God is now at hand. In other words, the word repent means that when Jesus came on the scene, if you understood and remember the scriptures, Jesus couldn't do no miracle after he came through the baptism. He didn't perform not one miracle in his course of time on earth until he was baptized by John the Baptist, who was the forerunner for him to come. And when we look at the scripture so close and we think about the Church of Sardis, and they just stuck. They had all the riches, they had all the things that made them feel like they was chosen. And then they serving God, they worship pagan gods, and they participated in all kind of wild frenzies, worship, including sexual immorality. It's a good scripture, you read it. But all these things is the manipulating of the Jezebel spirit. Every one of the seven churches you read in the book of Revelations, it talks about them, how the Jezebel spirit came in and caused manipulation and damage to what God has already put in place. Every historical event that ever happened in your life, it was something that called you to elude or get away from what God has called you to do. Even when we were young, we was held in bondage by things of rebellion. All Jezebel is a rebellious spirit. All she does is a he does, a he, whatever. Jezebel's spirit ain't just a woman. It's a man, because Jezebel wasn't really nothing with Ahab. Ahab was the king that gave her the power. In other words, by him being on the throne and having the power, it allowed Jezebel to have the power. You ever known a person who got a snobby and bad attitude when they getting beside somebody that's got power, and then that snobbiness falls on you? In other words, they know they can't be touched. Because Jezebel could point her finger at you. You just tell them to kill you, because now that's Ahab's husband. So every Jezebel needs an Ahab. They need somebody to assist them on, to encourage them to continue doing the manipulative work that they're doing. But I'm telling you, when God began to come on the scene, we heard what the story happened to Ahab. We know what happened over there when he went up to Mount Carmel, the Battle of Mount Carmel, when he shut down every one of the prophets. He made Jezebel look so bad that she thought her prophet was better than God. Prophet God had one prophet. He went up there and dominated and knocked off everything that was up there. And in the process of doing that, God showed himself faithful. When you rebel against the word of God, you got to understand there's a consequence that you're going to have to pay. You plant the seed, guess what? It's going to grow. That's a law of reaping and sowing. You plant it, it's going to grow. That's in the earth. You speak it, it's going to grow. That's why the Bible talks about how to control and tame your tongue, and how Romans 12:2 tells you you got to renew your mind. You got to get your mind right. You know, whatever a man thinketh, so shall he be. You got to have good thoughts. You got to speak things. I got to bless them. I'm going to be healed by his stripes, by the power, by the glory. The word of God declares over in the book of John 15:3, he said it was by the word that you became clean. The word has made you clean. And you got to believe that when he speaks these words into your life. And I don't know who you are, what you're dealing with, whether you need prayer or not prayer. As I said before, I'll see about a few lines lighting up, but we're going to go ahead and pray for those who need to be prayed for. And we're just going to believe God and whatever it is that they're dealing with. But in this segment, we always offer a word of salvation. I don't know if you had real salvation before, because the word of God tells me, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Your whole life's supposed to change. Your thought, your thinking, everything's supposed to change. And it's not going to change overnight, but God says you come among people that will help you stride in that direction. God will not by no means push you out. He will help you. He will help you strive for perfection. He will help you through prayer. He will bring you around people that can help move you in that direction. And with that note, we always offer the word of salvation for those who never received Christ. The word of God declares and decrees according to Romans 10:8-9. He talks about if you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, you know, God rose from the dead, you shall be saved. You know, and you pray this prayer with me out loud. I want you to pray it. I don't care if you've already been saved. You know, it's good to pray the prayer to know when you got to pray for somebody else. Just remember, you ain't got to get saved in the house of God.
You can be on your bedside. You can be in Walmart. You can be at a Kmart, where if they still exist. I don't know if any of them around anymore. You can be at 7-Eleven, and you can offer a person a word of salvation. The Word of God declares it like this. Heavenly Father, as you repeat after me, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sins. It's a very strong thing. I repent of my sins and open my heart. God speaks to the heart to let Jesus, or let you, Lord, come inside of me. Jesus, you are my Lord and you are my Savior. You're giving him dominion over you. You're giving him power over you. You're giving him his will. I believe that you died for my sins and you were raised from the dead. That means the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit has got the ability to heal you from every proclivity that's in your life. You say, yes, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, and that's a very simple prayer, but if you believe the impact and the power that's behind it, first of all, when it says Heavenly Father, you acknowledge him as being Lord and Savior. And then it says, in Jesus' name, I repent through his Son. The Bible said you can't enter the kingdom unless you come through his Son. You got to be, in Jesus' name, I repent. That's the blood that was sacrificed for your sin. He laid on the cross. He was the last sacrificial offering. And he's opening your heart through the blood. And he says, if you let Jesus come in, he will by no means shame you. He will by no means doubt you. He will clean you up. You want the Lord to come inside of you. The Bible said, greater than he that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus, you are my Lord. You gave him dominion and access to every sin in your life. That where you weak at, he makes you strong. I believe that you died. In other words, he paid the ultimate price for you. He paid a price for you. In other words, you was purchased with a price. You ain't got the right to do what you're doing because he already purchased you before the foundations of the world. When he died on the cross, his Son was already hovering. When you read the book of Genesis, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the earth. And I don't know, I can't really say this in content, that God knew that Adam was going to mess up, but I believe that God had a plan behind every problem that ever took place. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the new Adam, Jesus Christ, came in, and he died for the remission of sin. He had a chance to rebel in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he said he had to drink of the cup because he had to go. And he said, I'm going to leave you. I will be handed over to the hands of man. And he's thought about all of us, your children, your children's children, every generation that ever come through your womb as a woman, everything that comes through your body has been a man. I'm telling you, God thought of you way back then when he died on the cross. He said, I'm going to die for all mankind. And when I leave here, I'm going to let you know that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you be filled with the Holy Spirit, when you think you're unacceptable and you don't think you need it, you got to ask God, thank you, Father, because I was too unworthy. I was alcoholic. I was a drunk. I had spicy language. I was doing things I ought not to do. I know you seen me do things behind the scene that nobody has never seen me do. And, Lord, I just want to thank you for taking a sinner in like me and saving me through your glory, through your presence, through your power. And as I pray and close out on this afternoon, I just want to thank each and every one of you for joining us here on the Blog Talk Radio program here at Power of the Heart. I've got a question coming in here before we get offline. I'll open up the mic for this call here. It's a 989. I want to get a hold of number, 989-213. You on the air?
God bless you, Pastor Ellis.
God bless you, woman of God. You on the air?
Yes, sir. I was coming in to say that I really enjoyed the teaching on the Jezebel spirit. It made me read. I didn't really know about the Jezebel spirit. I know it was a seducing spirit, but after you were teaching on it, it made me read even more on it because we do have Jezebel spirits up in the church and you know, as a single woman, if you're not kept careful, prayed up, fasted, and walking in the spirit, the Jezebel spirit will try to seduce you and enter in. So I just thank God for the teaching on tonight.
Amen. You're welcome, woman of God. I tell you, it's a pleasure to have you to come out and speak out with all the calls we have online. Man, I tell you, you bowled out on us. And we thank God for you for stepping up and speaking that and encourage the other people that were on the line.
Amen. God bless you and Co-Pastor Ellis as well.
Amen. Well, we bless you. We be praying for you.
Thank you.
Well, as we said before, we want to continue. We're about 11 minutes into the show. We're going to pray a powerful prayer. We're going to release the demonic thoughts to the minds of the people. And we're going to declare by the word of God, we decree by the Spirit, that even as we speak this word over you, we're going to know that the Spirit has got to move and loose every negative thing that's not like God. We want to loose all the very presence of illnesses. We want to shut down every form of cancer. We want to shut down every form of degenerated disease in the name of Jesus. We want to shut down every form of arthritis, every form of breast cancer, every form of cancer period, every form of ovarian cancer. We want to loose it under the authority of the power of the Holy Spirit. We want the power of God to fall upon you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And Father God, I thank you as I open up a prayer for those who are on this line in the name of Jesus. And I declare by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit that even as we begin to pray, that you already come in from your heavenly realm that disperse your angels in every area of this ministry, Father God. I declare that as I speak as a man of God, I call down the authority, the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, your word decreed and declared there was some blind, there was some lame, there was some sick and afflicted. But through the power of your word, Father God, even the men at the pool of Bethesda, Father God, you came and asked the man of God, do you want to be made whole? Father God, I declare that every man and woman, God, be made whole. Father God, I declare and decree that every mother, Father God, even my mother, I lift her up in the name of Jesus, even as she lies, would seem to be in a bed of affliction. I declare by the word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit that even according to your word, Father God, even the reports of the doctors, Father God, you said that who has believed that report and who has the arms of that report been revealed. Father God, I declare right now that you send angels, Father God, around every mother, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I declare healing, Lord, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. I declare that every organ in their body begin to line up with the blood in the name of Jesus. I shut down every form of cancer in the name of Jesus. I loose every thyroid problem by the authority of the power of the Holy Ghost. I shut down every form of brain tumors in the name of Jesus. Every form of blood clots, Father God. Every form of heart disease. Every form of arthritis. Lord, I loose it. I wrap it all in the blood chains of Jesus and I send it back to hell and where they come from. Lord, I loose them in the name of Jesus. And I declare by the word of God and by the power of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that even as they begin to open their mouth, Lord, and be in prayer with me on this day, Father, they receive the engraftation of the power of the Holy Ghost, Father God. I'm asking you right now to move like a whirlwind, Father God. Somebody said the devil got power, Father God, but I know you got more power, Father God. I know you're able to do everything you said you're going to do, Father God. I'm asking you to move and shut every form of every slew foot down in the name of Jesus, Father God, and even as you begin to move, Father God, clean it up in the name of Jesus, and show them and seal it, Father God, that that generated disease, whatever it may be, to never have to come back, Father God. I call the bone marrow to begin to grow in the backs of the people and the necks and the knees of the people, Father God, that we won't have to even look at any kind of surgery on knees or backs or elbows or shoulders, Father God. I believe in the word of God in the name of Jesus. You send a shockwave, Father God, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. It just buckled them in the name of Jesus, that when it hit them, Father God, they feel the warmth of the power of the healing in their body, Father God, that they begin to profess with their mouth and declare and decree by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit that no weapon formed against them has got the ability to prosper and nothing will be able to stand. I thank you, Father God, for loosing them right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I declare it, I decree it, I speak it, I call it being done in Jesus' name, Father God. In Jesus' name, Father God, I prophesy a word of healing. I prophesy a word of health. I prophesy a word to break the back of lack in every one of their lives in the name of Jesus. I shut down every form of negative finances, Father God. I ask you, Father God, to set them up above the playing field, Lord, that you're about to equalize everything in their life. Father God, I thank you for every man and woman of God that's on this show tonight in the name of Jesus. I thank you for their participation, their prayers, and everything that they've said over to this very harvest show, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you to loosen in the name of Jesus, Father God, that even as we continue to keep the finances going and keep the show going, Father God, even with the new studio, Father God, I'm asking you to raise it up, Father God, as we go into the very segment that they may see us live. Father God, these things I'm asking not of myself, but the power of the Most High God. I decree and I call it being done. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, amen. We thank each and every one of you for joining us here at Power of the Harvest Radio Station. Well, like I said, we will be going, and we got our studio set up. We will be going live. You will be seeing me and Co-Pastor Patty live broadcast through live view stream on the study. We'll be teaching from our own studio here at Harvest New Life Church. And you'll get a chance to see a live video of us each and every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon beginning at 7 o'clock.
And we just thank God for the way he's opened this up. We're still debating on some of the times. It's right now 7 on Tuesday and 7 on Thursday. But if we go to anything different with the baby in the house, we got to kind of schedule out her time and my time and make sure the wife is comfortable when we do it, because it takes a lot of energy to prepare for the show with the lights and everything on. You can be very exhausting. But we believe God has already made a plan for us. And we just thank you for joining us on tonight. We declare the word of God. We decree it in your life. And I want to leave you with a word as always. We want you to continue to be free and just understand that God is in your life. And everything he promised you is already coming to full term. It's already coming to full fruition. I just thank you, Father God, for these men and women of God who took their time to be on the line with me on tonight. God bless you all. God keep you. And thank you for tuning in to Power of the Harvest radio station.